A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbleberg Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. And now CDU, that's Charles Darwin University, appoints First Nations scholar to Deputy Vice Chancellor role. And that man is Professor Reuben Bolt. And got Professor Reuben on the line. Professor Reuben, very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Very well, thanks.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Congratulations on your new appointment. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, so my mob's Ewan Mob, which is about 2 hours, 3 hours south of Sydney, a little community called Wreck Bay. And about 1994, I think it was, the land was handed back, which was Jervis Bay National Park, was handed back to my community. So it's now Buttery National Park.
All right.
And it's a joint park management arrangement where more than 50% of the board is Aboriginal community members.
Good. Beautiful. Well, we are making marks slowly but surely, and like I said, congratulations on your new appointment, Deputy Vice Chancellor role at Charles Darwin University. So tell us how this all came about, and tell us about holding the reins and moving forwards.
Yeah, so I applied for the job about 2 years ago as a Pro Vice Chancellor in Indigenous Leadership, and so, yeah, that was about 2 years ago, and then we have a new vice-chancellor that started about 6 or 7 months ago now, and his preface was always that given where CDU is located in the Northern Territory, we're the only university in the Northern Territory, our footprint is all of the Northern Territory, and so for us, or for CDU, Indigenous issues are at the forefront. So the preference was always from the Vice-Chancellor's perspective that the PVC Indigenous role would be elevated to a DVC role.
Sure.
And what we've done is we've changed the language too, so it's the Deputy Vice-Chancellor First Nations Leadership. We think that's important because we had a process where we engaged various Aboriginal leaders and looked at the term itself, Indigenous or Aboriginal or Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander. And overwhelming, it was First Nations was the more appropriate word.
Exactly. And if you look at it, success breeds success. And with our people now getting in university and chasing their goal, their dream regarding degrees and what have you, and going further, well, we need that that benchmark and to open up doors and open up eyes and our hearts and our spirits for our mob to succeed. You could say in the white man world, yes?
Yeah, I think so. You could say a white man's world, but what for me it's about how do we, as Aboriginal people or as First Nations people, how do we push our own agenda and our agenda for our people, but also in that white world. So
yes,
I mean we navigate that because we know there are two worlds, but I mean we do both, and we do both of that in the everyday.
Of course.
So it's not like it's this thing where they're completely separate, but it's like this convergence of both. So we live that. And a good example of that is that I speak English.
I don't know
my traditional language, but I have to do that because that's what I know.
Sure, exactly. And but also it's... you're the position you hold there as the Deputy Vice-Chancellor, it now just inspires and motivates our younger brothers and sisters coming through, yeah?
Yeah, I think it does. But also, it's about it is about leadership.
Yes.
But it's also about having the organisations and the other leaders that are in those organisations that open up the space for that to happen. CDU is the third university in the country to appoint a DVC Indigenous Identified role. And so, I mean, there's probably about 20 or 21, 22 Indigenous people that are at PVC or higher, but only three at DVC. So, University of Sydney, they had their first DVC Indigenous back in 2011. And they've only just announced the PVC Indigenous as well.
Yes.
So they have two senior roles.
Okay.
And then the other one was Western Sydney, which was about 5-6 months ago. Michelle Trudgett, she's in that role, Professor Michelle Trudgett.
Okay.
And CDU is the third one.
Lovely. So, yeah, we are making marks, and which is fantastic. And in regard to your title there, Professor, Professor, in what field did you study?
Oh, look, I started in my as a health science. I did a Bachelor of Health Science with honours,
mm-hmm.
And then went on to do a Master of Media Arts and Production, which is really documentary production, soundtrack for film, etc. So it was more practical.
Okay.
And then went on to do a PhD on Aboriginal identity using narrative methods and microsociology, and then went on to do an MBA. So it's quite diverse.
Yeah.
But I think the way you write in each of those disciplines is different. And what that does, it really gives you tools.
It gives you
tools to be able to write within the disciplines, but also to navigate the everyday.
Yeah, fantastic. Beautiful. Well, once again, congratulations. And thank you very much for sharing. And all the best to your mob that way there. Keep doing what you're doing. Please do keep in touch. And success breeds success. I'm really fired up to be yarning with you, my friend.
Yeah, definitely. I'm always happy to have a yarn.
Professor, you take care, and we'll yarn soon, Professor Rubin.
Okay, thank you.
Bye, brother. A deadly yarn there. Professor Reuben Bolt, his name is, and has been appointed as Deputy Vice Chancellor, First Nations Leadership, that's DVC FNL is the acronym, at Charles Darwin University, and making CDU the third university in Australia to make such an appointment. So look, fantastic. Leading from the front, and look out for an educated black man, black woman. There we are. We're making marks and living in both worlds. Have your saying yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, that deadly number, 1-800-422-416.
The lights go dim, not a shadow fills the room. And I sense your sweet love reaching out to me. But again, I'm playing the fool. Oh, I hope you don't mind this way that I feel. I want to capture this moment for life. Each time that I looked in your eyes and say, stoke that fire and let it blaze all night. I need to keep you safely in my sight. Never wanting this moment to end with you and I. I guess I asked too much. You need some time to think. Not to rush in and say it's too great. It's just a girl I. And turn, and I hope it's me in your dreams. And as the morning arrives, the sun hits your eyes, as I stoop to give you a kiss. Oh, your eyes meet mine, my heart seems to stop as I wait for your answer to me. Thank you.
days. It's been way too long, my friend. It's been months since I even heard you laughing. Like I've done at times for air. For you right now I'm gasping. And I know this is the start of mine and yours drifting apart. Well, life goes on. You'll meet someone and I'll understand. But I feel burnt. Yeah, I'll be hurt. I'm only a man. Then I might hear from you after some bad news. And of course I'll be here. Out drifting apart is my only real fear. And I know start of mine and yours drifting apart. The years will pass until at last I can't picture your face. I might settle down in a quiet town. Yeah, I might change my ways. And I think of you, wonder what you'd do. Are you where you said you'd be? As I'm doing my thing, I'll be wondering, do you ever think of me? I know I don't want it to stop. But to stop it happening is so damn hard. Just want you to know you're forever in my heart.
Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20, Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So have your saying yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, inquiry here is concerns over inadequacy of disability support pension. We're going to catch up a yarn now for, with Deputy CEO June Arima regarding the situation. And she's with the First People Disability Network, FPDN, on the line. June, good morning, sis. How are you?
Good Good morning, and thanks for having us here today.
Thank you very much for coming on board. Just before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yes. So my name is June Reema, as you said. I come from the Foley family up on the north coast of New South Wales, so that's Gambangia country.
Mm-hmm.
But my ancestry from my grandmother is also Dungaddy, so okay. I'm Gambangia Dungaddy.
Beautiful. Thank you, my sister, and big shout out to all the mob there on country. Thank you very much. Look, a very important conversation. Quarry hears concerns over inadequacy of disability support pension. So it seems like forgot the First Nation people once again, you could say.
Well, you know, for our people living with disability particularly, you know, there's always been the issue of, you know, disadvantage anyway, not being able to connect to appropriate services. So when it comes to the disability support pension, it's another barrier for our community around how things are developed, particularly, you know, for a lot of our mob not understanding the narratives, how to fill in the forms. Mm. And, you know, if you've got numeracy and literacy issues on top of that, you know, you're marginalised even before you step in the door. So, and what we found with the inquiry also, the documentation needed to prove that you have a disability, it's very convoluted, even for doctors. So they don't even know how to fill in the paperwork, what's requested from Centrelink. So we're just asking for an easier process for, you know, those people that really need, you know, this support in their life
yes.
to make a difference, you know, for them and their families.
And it's great to have First People Disability Network at the table. You know, fighting for our mob with disability, and of course the world we're living in with COVID-19, it should be front and centre and very important conversation to be had.
Correct. You know, and what we've seen, you know, nationally, it costs a lot for a person with disability to live. We're not just talking about, you know, housing and food. We're talking about equipment that they need to support them to get out of the house.
Yes, exactly.
To access communities. So all these things cost in life. So, you know, and then having another barrier to, you know, get a pension that you're eligible for, you know, we need to, you know, change it. And what we saw that, you know, a lot of our mob come, you know, from significant trauma in their life anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So we don't need being re-traumatised when, you know, something that you're eligible for and should be an easier process.
Exactly. And when we're talking about, especially with our mob with disability in the physical sense, this affects them in the mental and spiritual sense as well, doesn't it?
Correct. And what we found, you know, with Centrelink or other officers that, you know, supporting our mob to, you know, fill in the paperwork, there's not enough cultural sensitivity around what it means coming from country or coming from extended family. And what those implications and where you sit within that realm of a, you know, your community or your family.
Mm.
So, you know, we really need, you know, cultural awareness, disability awareness, pushed across, you know, these support networks so they better understand, you know, what are the barriers to people being able to access something that they're entitled to.
So,
what we saw, you know, was huge highlights around, you know, language, remoteness, transport, you know, these were the things that, you know, impacted on people getting something that, as I said, that they're entitled to.
So with our concerns, how do we move forward and what do you expect and what conversations that need to be had and actions behind those conversations?
Well, we just need to, you know, as we Damien, our CEO, and I appeared at the Senate inquiry and with a lot of other disability peaks and individuals with disability telling their stories. So I think, you know, going forward, we you know, welcome that report.
Yep.
There have been other submissions sent to regards to what the changes need to look like for our mobs, you know, and particularly around what we found, you know, at the inquiry and, you know, with community conversations. People didn't understand, you know, when they were told they weren't eligible, their rights around a review.
Mm.
So what we've asked for, you know, when someone is refused eligibility to the disability support pension, there needs to be paperwork sent out why they were refused.
Exactly,
on
yes.
what point. So everyone's aware, so, you know, if, you know, our mob are going into, you know, the Aboriginal medical centres or going to see their doctor, they can take that paperwork or going to see an individual advocate who can understand why,
exactly.
not just send out a refusal. We
yes.
need to know why they refused and what is the process to help with that review.
Well, we're talking about communication both ways, aren't we?
Correct. Yeah.
Exactly.
But when, you know, a system developed that, you know, wasn't developed around cultural business or our people's business, it's very hard for most of our mob to navigate these. And as we all know, you know, when we're told no, we just walk away. And that's not fair.
Of course it's not fair. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the people who are looking at the so-called application are non-Indigenous, so they don't have that that thought process and that spiritual connection in regard to our mob and the concerns that we have.
Correct. And what we found with most of the processes when, you know, having conversation with community, they're very degrading.
Exactly.
You know, and so, you know, this is a human rights issue here.
Yes.
Australia is a signatory on the rights of people with disability. We have a right to access programs, you know, funding, social security.
Well, the word discrimination comes to the front and centre.
Correct.
Yes.
So, you know, we need to, you know, move forward and understand that, you know, everyone doesn't come as a collective. We're all individual.
Exactly.
And we have different, you know, education, different rights, different issues in accessing, and but everyone should be supported.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you very much for the yarn there, June. Thank you.
That's
the best to you mob there.
Okay.
And we'll yarn soon,
have
my sister.
Great day.
Please do keep in touch, eh?
Yep, thank you.
Thanks, sis. Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there. That's June Arima, her name is. She's Deputy CEO of FPDN, First People Disability Network, and we're talking about the inquiry that came out and his concerns over inadequacy of disability support pension. And a lot of work needs to be done there to support our mob with disability. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Thank you. Kenya Mob. It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First National Radio Station here in Cairns. On your dingy country, that's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by giving us a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Going to jump straight in. We've got Which Way Yarning segment happening now with Edmonton Police, proudly sponsored by Piconi, IGA, Edmonton and Brinsmead. And they give us a box of fruit here once a week by Mabipra Media. Healthy living, healthy lifestyles message we deliver to our beautiful staff, board of directors and our school-based traineeship. And chew on an apple or banana rather than a Kit Kat or a picnic. There you go, Mob. And we've got to introduce the two gentlemen come to join us, police officers, Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, and also got Police Liaison Officer Stephen Brent come to join us. Very good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. How you going?
I'm well. Good morning, Trevor.
How are you?
Good morning, brother.
Yep.
I'm good. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, my name's Steve Grant. I'm a Jetta Bolt person from the Cardwell Mission Beach, Murray Upper area. So, yeah, the wettest place in Australia.
The wettest place in Australia, yeah, get your gumboots on there. And where do you stem from, Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay?
Yeah, so I'm a tableland boy, Atherton.
Yes, hillbilly. Atherton,
hillbilly, right, yeah.
Ride him cowboy, bro.
I usually try and keep that secret, but
it's out there now. This is national.
Right out there.
Too deadly, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Look, our topic today, risk consequences. I believe you guys had a visit. Well, you went and visited at the Jarrigan College.
That's correct, yeah.
We're having yards.
Last week, and we'll give a shout out to the seniors down there at Jarrigan College.
Okay.
Great audience.
Yes.
Yeah, we were asked to go down there and have a chat to the students about risk and consequences, and look, that was an important topic to raise, certainly with that age group,
sure,
because they're the ones that are most likely to take the most risks earlier in their lives. So, you know, it was good to get a bit of messaging across, talk about our personal experiences,
yep,
you know, the importance of police delivering that. Is the fact is we're the ones that come across people making poor judgment.
Sure. And when we're talking about risk consequences, and bottom line, we're talking about think before you act.
Exactly.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's all we're doing, you know.
Yeah, and realise that, you know, by taking some risks, then the consequence of that may be lifelong. So, you know, I mean, if we were to drill down to just using social media, which we discussed with the students, you know, people can post something. Later on in life, they're trying to apply for a job and that pops up. You know, a prospective employer has a look at what they're posting and decides that that's an undesirable applicant.
Sure.
That simple...
You won't get the job because of that statement
you made
7-odd years ago.
Exactly. So that simple act could have caused that, you know. And look, that's not even a criminal behaviour. That's something that's probably quite innocent.
Risk consequences is what we're talking about here.
Exactly. So we're just asking those students to just think a little bit further forward. Before they take that course of action and understand that, these things may come back and bite you later on in life.
Exactly. So we're talking about social media. What other topics were you talking about regarding risk consequences?
One of our best questions was what's the most risk that we see students of that age taking? And I think me and Steve were sort of in agreement that like alcohol and drugs are probably one of the biggest factors.
Sure.
And they, like Glenn said, it's their choice and their decision. They can only blame for themselves. They need to look upon there's, you know, better avenues out there than that sort of behaviour. Like Glenn said, police always have to intervene, you know, if something comes up critical.
I remember my uncle always saying that too many of us out there pointing fingers, blaming mum and dad, blaming the teacher, blaming the policeman, blaming the government. When you're pointing, three fingers pointing back at you.
Correct.
So be accountable for your own actions in life.
That is right.
And that young mindset, that's why we as adults need to make that conversation with the young mindset. You know what I mean? So think before you speak, think before you act, you know, because it could have consequences in the future, you know. And that's what we're talking about, eh?
Yeah, and look, that age group's very difficult. I mean, I know I'm suffering from that at home at the minute with boys that age. You know,
don't tell me about boats.
Their father knows nothing. You know,
thank you. That's right.
They know a lot more, and You know, but parents do need to have them conversations with their kids, because if you've made some poor decisions in your life and it has affected you, that's a great platform to you know, deliver to your children and say, look, well, this is what I did, and I regret it immensely, and this is why. And you know, if children are thinking in that space and thinking that they, you know, that every one of their actions is going to have some sort of consequence, you know, right down to, you know, hiding the Kit Kat packet behind the lounge chair.
Yep.
You know, the parent finds that 5 weeks later. That you know, conversation Mildred. Started 5 weeks ago exactly. when you decided to hide the Kit Kat under the lounge
That's
chair.
Right.
You know,
so
simple.
But that little exercise like that could escalate into bigger things.
Yeah.
Of doing wrong. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I mean. Taking risks is right across the board. You know, we can look at our traffic offences, you know, and there's a risk there of injuring yourself, you know, injuring others. But then there's also the consequences of the court procedures, the expense of going to court, the expense of fixing your car, your higher insurance premiums, you know. So, you know, we're thinking about driving around like a mad idiot.
Or drink driving, whatever case may be, anything like that you're doing, and especially when there's a fatality, you know, well, no good for you if you know, if you pass, but if you stay alive, but the people who pass within the same vehicle that you're driving, you've got to live with that.
Absolutely, and the shame of it. And also the criticism from, you know, the community
and the breakup of families and friends, and
So there's no winners out of those sort of decisions, you know, and they're tragic for everyone involved.
And look, it just highlights again, you know, when you look at you beautiful gentlemen in blue uniforms and people got the X marks against you because they hate the coppers, you know what I mean? That sort of stuff, you know what I mean? But they need to protect and serve, you know what I mean?
That's it.
So having these conversation and you're talking about like, you know, like 300 students or whatever, if 50% of them took on board what you're saying, do you know what I mean?
That's right.
There it is. You
and
know
they're, and they're going to be safer
yeah,
for it.
Exactly.
You know? And I'll throw it out there, but for my oldest boy, he got his first ticket on the weekend for not having the appropriate safety equipment in his vessel, in his boat.
Okay.
Great lesson for him.
Yes.
You know.
Was he whinging about it?
Look, he didn't like the experience, and that's the whole part of it.
Was he arguing the point?
No, he didn't argue the point.
Because there it is.
Yeah, there it is. The evidence was there.
The evidence wasn't there because he never had the, had the equipment.
But, you know, like a simple decision like that. He's gone out in the water. He's had three people in the vessel. He's had two life jackets.
Mm.
That was his decision. And he got a fine. Well, there's been other instances where people haven't had the correct safety equipment and lost their lives. So that's why they write the ticket.
Well, rules are there to protect us all.
Exactly.
And by them.
When it's a negative experience, it's a good thing because then people tend to go and tell all their friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they do our work for us.
Yeah, sure, know? Exactly.
So,
yeah.
So and people.
I say the Murray Grapevine, but the Grapevine as
absolutely.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. So people at the barbecue sit there and think, well, I'm glad that wasn't me. So
sure.
If I'm going to be in that position, I won't.
Because that's how he's not skiding, but he's like, guess what happened to me on the weekend?
Yeah.
And he makes that conversation.
Yeah.
And then someone's listening and, oh, damn, I better check my boat before we go out tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Whatever, you know what
true.
I mean?
True, yeah.
So we need to have those conversations.
And when you think about it, Trevor, the other thing is we've all been through it.
Yes, you know, exactly.
It's part of life, I find, you know.
Learning curves.
That's exactly
what
right.
What they say is OPE, other people's experience.
Correct.
You learn off other people's experience, other people's mistakes or whatever, you know what I mean? I always say that every person I meet in some way is superior to me. I'm learning off anybody and everybody, even the wrongdoings. Well, I can do that. That looked bad.
Yeah.
You know, ooh, he got fined for that. I'll make sure I'm checking my stuff, you know what I mean? But look, I love going out to my beautiful father. Dad, he always talked to me. There's two things that he said that really changed my life at 17-year-old. I did something wrong and he was arguing the hell out of me and I thought I was going to get a flogging, you know, back in the day. But at 7-year-old, he's told me like a man, you know. I was all sitting there quiet and didn't say nothing. And he banged his, slapped his hand on the table, thinking, hey! And I looked up at him. He says, listen here, I'm your father, but I'm not always right. If you think I'm wrong, you tell me. Which made me think.
Yeah.
But then he also left me with, whatever you do on planet Earth, you're carrying my name.
Correct.
So those two statements have stayed with me and I sort of lived around because of those two statements. You know, live with my life around those two statements, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, stand up for myself, but at the same time, I carry my father's name, you know.
Yep.
And I wasn't scared of any man in the blue uniform. I was scared of a little Aboriginal man live at Lake Placid.
Yeah.
A little Murray from the Curry Senior. Yeah, give me up. He flogged the hell out of me. So, like, yeah, I'd rather your mob shoot me now. I'm going to handcuff me, but deal with that little Aboriginal man.
Yeah, yes.
But, yeah, there's that lessons in life, yeah? Yeah. And you need to have that open mind for the lessons, you know. Don't think you know it all, you know, and take on board the advice. No harm in listening.
No, and learning from those errors. That's correct, yeah. Yep, yep.
Beautiful. So risk consequences, that's what we're talking about today here on Which Way Yarning. Very important, you mob out there, young ones, well, even old ones. Yeah, if you're in a marriage situation, been married for 15 years and come to the end of your tether, or you're having little disagreements, whatever, well, boys, walk away, you know, cool down, walk away. So we're talking about domestic violence, think before you act. We're talking about drink driving. All the thought process in regarding your actions before the action, you know.
Correct.
Just have the right thinking about it, you know, instead of the stinking thinking.
Yeah, Trevor, that's true. And also this time of the year, you know, we're only, 8 weeks out till Christmas.
So silly season.
Silly season's definitely on the cards. Mm. And it also puts our work in line at a higher risk when this time of the year, we find.
Yeah, you know, and, like, that's the thing is, like, you guys in blue, you're the ones that go knocking on the door to tell the people the bad news.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
And that's one of the hateful things about the job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, look, it's about just acting, doing things right. Let's all have a good time. Silly season, you know. But let's work smarter, not harder, and work in the safest environment.
Yeah, that's right. We all know our boundaries, you know. And,
exactly.
We don't want to push those boundaries because then we get to, you know, experience the consequences of doing that. So, you know, people need to really think as the Christmas period approaches. Certainly, when we talk about the drug and alcohol thing, that influences a lot of people's behaviours. Good people,
sure, exactly.
You know, and their behaviours change, and they make decisions that can, you know, affect them well and truly. Well, longer exactly. than the punishment.
Look, I love our yarns here in front of a microphone, not in front of bars, you know. I don't want to come visit you boys there.
Our bars are always open.
Don't say that. You know? I don't want to hear that, you know what I mean? But I've never been in a situation where I've been behind bars, you know, even for a lock-up in the situation. And with respect, I don't want to go there, boys. I mean, I love seeing you guys, but not in that situation, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We should do lunch down the Subway, whatever you bought the lunch, Steve, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, good yarning with you boys. Thank you for the yarn. We've got the silly seasons coming up, as we mentioned. What are you guys doing going away? You're talking about doing something there?
I'm your son's doing a bit of welding on his tray of his ute. So, yeah, I've made the error of deciding to build a whole new tray, and that job's dragging on.
Is he helping you?
He's helping me, that's correct.
Sure, it's a team effort.
He's got to learn how to grind my bodgy welds. So,
you're a bit of a handyman, are you?
Ex-tradie, see?
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
As a welder?
As a fitter and turner.
Fitter and turner?
Yes.
Oh, you work at the laundry shops? And you hold up the panties.
Diesel
fitter. Diesel fitter.
Different type of fitter, thanks.
Different type of fitter.
A lot of oil involved in the stuff that way. Yes.
Yeah, a lot of oil in the other one too. Grease and oil change, don't go there. All right, Steve, all the best to you, my brother.
Yeah, thank
what
you,
are you
Trevor.
Doing?
Oh, I'm just taking 3 weeks off. Probably just hopefully families will visit me.
Yeah.
So, just hoping.
3 weeks off, that sounds like retirement.
Cuss. That's true.
Yeah, there you go. Give me an application, I'll apply for a job with you. All right, gentlemen, great talking with you.
Yes.
All the best, eh?
Thank you, Trevor.
Today, Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by IGA, Edmonton and Brisbane. A big shout out to the Edmonton Police. Do a fantastic job. Have a yarn with us here once a week. Which Way Yarning is the segment and the deadly yarn. And the topic there was risk consequences. So think before you act, you mob. That's what it's all about. I always say life is simple, but people complicate it. So do not complicate your life. Think before you act. In actual fact, love and respect people. Think before you speak. And if we're talking social media, think before you type. That's what it's all about. People have feelings. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Have your say. Yarn up strong here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah.
Daily track there, that's Red Flag, that's Yellow, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up with the Baldy One here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BB and Bumber Rip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Oh, we're going to catch up with a yarn there with Greg calling from Mackay. Greg, good morning. Hey, Greg, not there. Greg, give us a call back. Lost you there, brother, and we'll continue the yarn in regards to your space. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Like I said, we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we're going across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, Voice for Our People. We'll try again with brother Greg calling from Mackay. Greg, you there? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How are you going, Trevor?
Yeah, good, Brother Greg. So you're calling from Mackay, Mackay, North Queensland, yep?
Yes, sir, that's where I am. I'm from a place called Slate Point.
Okay.
Just a little bit out of Mackay.
Yes.
Right beside the Mackay Harbour there. There's a group of people there. They call themselves the Northern Bulk Ports, but they're a private government corporation. And a couple of years ago, they got sandhills and a big Malaluka forest conservation area in their land holding. And, of course, there's traditional people's land. But a couple of years ago, they tried to sell the sand off to Singapore. And they still got sand mining going on in there. And there's a road that goes to the north wall of the harbour. And I'm going to run a campaign called Line in the Sand.
Line in the Sand, yep.
Yep, and it's to stop them Northern Bulk Ports people and them sand mining people taking the sand from the area in front of the conservation area for the Malalukas, because all those areas work in together.
So it seems that they've got a contract to do so. They must have the thumbs up or the permission or the go-ahead by council or by state or federal government, have they not?
That's what I'm telling you, brother. They're the state government, right? Now, what I'm going to do, this is people power, because it's right beside the Slate Point. I grew up there. I've been cutting through them sandhills and that. Them everybody at Slate Point knows Greg Crembar.
Yes.
Right, I know Mr. Mooney, Miss Arlani's. I spoke to Mr. Tonga yesterday. And all I want is I want that sand mining stopped.
Sure.
And the only thing going through there should be people's feet.
Yes.
Nothing else.
Yes. Fight the good fight, brother. So you got Tio's at the table with you, brother?
You there, Trevor?
Yeah, can you hear me, Greg? No, I lost Greg there. Sorry, Greg, I lost you, brother. Give me a call back. Yeah, my question is, you have tears at the table in regard to your fight there, traditional owners, and let's operate in that space. I'll let you let us know how you operate in that space. But, yeah, very important conversation. Have a yarn and have a say in this fantastic program. Like I said, a voice for our people, and having yarns about you know, the average punter out there. So we'll try again with brother Greg and see if he's there. Greg, you there?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, lost your brother. Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, brother, do you have TOs at the table in regard to your fight? Is it traditional owners' land there?
And it's right beside a conservation area as well.
Mm.
And you drive down the road to the North Wall at the harbour there, right? And you have a look what they've done. It's just straight ridiculous.
Yeah.
They already pretty much wrecked the area because it used to be a big wetland with brogues and things like that. You don't see too many brogues there no more. And with what the Northern Bulk Ports have done, they pretty much wrecked the area. And now I think it's just time for them to stop in that area.
Sure.
There's a conservation area. There's a road going down to the North Wall. And I'm going to go and have a talk to that minister, Mr. Mark Bailey, and I'm going to try and talk to the people at North Bulk Ports Chemic about being fed income about the way that they're handling that area.
Well, everybody needs to be at the table, Greg. I'm talking environment, you know, First Nation people, the national parks, all the above. Everyone needs to be at the table, and everyone needs to know what's going on, especially constituents of that area, brother.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going to do. It's a people power thing,
yes.
Right? Everybody knows what's been going on there, and you drive down that road to the North Wall of the harbour, Trevor, and you yourself will see that it's silly,
yeah,
what they've been doing.
Quite a good fight, brother.
They've been getting away with it for a long time down there, them harbour board people.
Yes.
Right? And it's time to stop.
We're
running out of... This country's going downhill fast.
Yeah.
And we're running out of time.
Okay, my brother. Well, please do keep in touch and keep us up to date with everything, Greg.
Hey?
Keep us up to date with everything, brother, and use this fantastic program as a vehicle for your fight.
Yeah, well, I just want to get the word out there.
Okay.
And people can go and have a look.
Good.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And they will understand it. You don't have to be. Anybody can see what's going on there.
Yes.
It's the sand mining has to stop.
Yes.
It has to go to some area where it's protected forever.
You know,
you can't have sand mining and a wetland reserve straight beside each other when the sand protects the wetland reserve.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Ridiculous.
It's common sense, eh?
Yeah, and that's what I'm on about.
Okay,
you
brother.
You can't trust them. Northern Bulk Ports are really a little bit untrustworthy.
Greg.
That's the way I see it.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for the yarn. Keep in touch, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you for hearing me.
Bye, mate. That's Greg there calling from Mackay. Bit of a fight on his hand, and he gave us a call and just stating the facts. So, big shout out to Greg. And yeah, like everyone should be at the table regarding movements like that, you know, in regards to business, regarding state membership, regarding environment, traditional owners, and all the above. Have you seen Yarn Strong? We've got about 6 minutes left on the program. National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416.
Malawon, Morobona, Miragayo.
Yeah, beautiful track there. That's Jillawarra. That's by the Saltwater Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Well, it's come to the time where Trendy Trev got to sign off. A big shout out to My 105 FM, Mackay Dudley Murray Radio Station, First Nation Radio Station. That's where Greg tuned in for the National Talk Black program, going across the country thanks to NERS. But we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbleberry Media, 99.7 FM. And we do a 1 hour program with National Talk Black. And we're back in the hot seat again tomorrow with that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. 24-7, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Otherwise, your mob, look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are in a pandemic. Abide by the rules. Borders are opening up very soon. Hear that, WA are closing the border right through till Christmas to all states and territories, and operating in different ways, different premiers of the states and territories, and protecting their people. But we need to be safe. Get the jab, you mob, or have the yarn with our First Nation health organisations about the jab. And we need to protect ourselves. Too deadly.